Hassled or joyful is the current subject that we are examining. Hassled means to be, well, constantly annoyed, to be bothered, exacerbated, or irritated with our circumstances. Alternatively, the Word of God talks about being joyful, and what that means is to have this calm, satisfied happiness with the circumstances in which the Lord has placed us that we might serve Him. Now, I put that very specifically. I'm not talking here today about, is your life perfect, nor is your life as happy as you can make it. I'm not seeking to promote some kind of view whereby you ought to, as a Christian, enjoy the best of everything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm specifically saying what the Word of God is saying. Are you joyful? Are you calmly satisfied and happy with where the Lord in His wisdom and providence has set you so that you can witness and live for Him there? Are you happy? Are you joyful, or are you hassled with the circumstances God has providentially set you in? Well, last week we took some time to set out the stall there, as it were, about being hassled or joyful. And we moved rather quickly to think about, a little child who is in the back seat of the car. And the wee child who says, "Mummy, Daddy, are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Every 4 or 5 miles, the same question is repeated. And the parent will turn round at some stage and address the child and encourage them, "Listen, we have a long way to go, or we may have a short way to go. But either way, we can either endure this journey, grumbling, complaining, and exasperatedly whinging about everything. Or we can sit down and think, I am not dying with pain in my body, and I'm able to be up and about. I'm in a car, I'm comfortable, and I've got a good destination before me." And that's what you'll say to a child at some point. Because the journey might be long, you need to have an answer that will genuinely settle them down. And I assure you, we have learnt that many, many, many times. But sometimes the Christian's like that. We moan, we complain, "Lord, are we nearly there yet? Lord, can we soon go home to glory?" And that might sound, like I said, very good last week. It may sound very spiritual, but you have to ask the question, what motivates your desire to get out of this world? Is it your passion and your love for Christ, like the psalmist David? Are you overcome with a desire just to see the Lord? Or are you irritated, frustrated, bothered with life, and you just want to get away from it all? Which one is it? When you ask the motivation, why do you want a way out of this world? Now, in Philippians chapter 1, the verse 23, that was our text last week, where the apostle Paul said that he was in a strait between two, to go and to be with the Lord, or to stay with the people and to minister to them. You see, the apostle Paul, he had the balance. Because he did have a passion and a desire for the Lord, but because he loved the Lord, he also felt a desire to stay, to deal with the problems, to deal with the people of God, to show them God's glory. Can you see the difference here? Yes, he had a desire to see the Lord, but he had a desire to deal with all the issues and to glorify God on earth. He's not looking an easy way out. And remember then, we looked at the people in Thessalonica, and they expected that the Lord was coming imminently. And because of that, they grew discouraged because the Lord wasn't going to take them home imminently. Indeed, here we are 2,000 years later, and the Lord still hasn't come to wrap up creation. And they were discouraged because the Lord wasn't coming. You and I, and here's the conclusion, I suppose, we came to last week. You and I ought to be prepared to go, but be prepared to stay. Now, if you think back to last week, you'll understand what I mean by that. Prepare to go to heaven, saved, peace with God, but be prepared to stay for the next 10, 20, 30 years in case the Lord keeps you here. So live with a plan on how you'll serve God this week, next year. Have a long-term view on your walk with God and run patiently. That's what Hebrews means, to run patiently. To run, but do it with patience, every stride for a long goal. So here we are, men and women. I trust you're prepared to go, but you're also prepared to stay. Don't be hassled with life. Don't be looking a way out of the location and circumstances that God has called you to. Rather, live for Him there for the glory of God and do it joyfully. Now, this morning, we come to this magnificent text, which is very much helpful in this study. We look at Mary and Martha. And I suppose we could simply take the title this morning, "Have You Too Much Martha and Not Enough Mary?" You understand what I mean there? Is there too much of a Martha mentality and too little of a Mary mentality found in our hearts? Look at the text with me again here. Luke chapter 10. And you have here Martha. "Now it came to pass as they went," verse 38, "that he," that's the Lord, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, but Mary," Martha, "was cumbered about with much serving." So here you have these two women, and this is a well-known portion of the word of God, but there is not a portion in Scripture that more clearly, succinctly, and directly illustrates the difference between believers, one being hassled and the other being joyful. I mean, it is blindingly obvious. It is God's will for us to be like Mary here, who was joyful, and not like Martha, who was hassled with all of her serving. So Mary presents very clearly what it is to be joyful. Now look at Mary here. Mary is not, you see her there in verse 39, "and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, Mary is not joyful in the sense of what the world might aim to be joyful. Okay, she's not living in excessive, indulgent, sinful pursuits. No, I'm putting it to you that Mary is experiencing the most joyful experience there is to enjoy. She is sitting at the Savior's feet. And I have no doubt in my mind that if you would have walked up to Mary, if you walked into this house and walked up to Mary and said, "Mark, Mary, let's go and party," she'd look at you and say, "What? Why would I leave the Savior's feet to go and booze and drink somewhere? Or Mary, let's go shopping." Now, that wouldn't have been an option in her day, conscious of that. But if it would have been, and you said to Mary, "Let's go to Belfast, let's go to Victoria Square, I've got a voucher for £500, let's go and spend it," I guarantee you, she would have said, "Maybe some other day. Keep the voucher. Maybe some other day." I have no doubt that Mary would not have chosen to be anywhere else on planet Earth because she is experiencing joy at the Savior's feet. But I don't want you to miss something here. Look at verse 42. And we'll come to it in a minute or two, but these are the words of the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to Mary here, and he's saying to, or rather speaking to Martha here, but he's talking about Mary. And in verse 42, the Lord says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen." Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's that word chosen. I'm just considering this again this morning before coming here. And that word chosen just
really stuck out to me. She chose this. This is a choice that she made. She chose a joyful situation. She could have got up and went into the kitchen with Martha. She could have left the house altogether and done something else. She could have indulged in her hobbies, in whatever, but she made a specific choice to sit at the Savior's feet and to enjoy him. And I don't want you to miss something very important about our study here for the past few months. Living a joyful life is your choice. It is. You can deliberately fixate upon the giant problems, upon the difficult. You can sit and fill your brain and your head with them day in, day out. You can look at every problem, analyze it from several different angles. That's your choice. But I put it to you, the Lord says, consider me. And look at him from several different angles. And contemplate his greatness and his glory, and you will find that your mountains aren't mountains at all, but molehills. That's the reality. You see, Mary chose to just sit down and enjoy the Lord. That was it. Martha, on the other hand, she was hassled. Now, we can always choose our circumstances. You can't choose whether or not your body will be riddled with cancer in the next year or two. You can't choose that. But you can choose how you respond. Having cancer is no joke. Having circumstances, and many a believer and many an unbeliever enters into circumstances that are unpleasant by anybody's description. But we always choose how we deal with it. And how we respond. We can fixate on the problem or fixate on the Lord. Now, we need to ask the question at this point then, have you too much Martha and not enough Mary in you? Is that your conduct in life? You see, Martha here was making little molehills in the mountains. That's what Martha was doing. She had guests. She had things to do. And all of a sudden, it became a great mountain to her. But Mary, on the other hand, she saw the mountain that Martha was making. And Mary said, well, I'm going to make it into a molehill. I'm just going to sit and enjoy the Lord. Can you see the difference? We can either be making molehills into mountains or making mountains into molehills. And Mary chose that better part, to forget about the problems and to spend time with Christ. Well, not forget about the problems. As we go through this text, you'll see that wasn't the case. But she was rightly approaching the problems, not overwhelming herself by them. So, look at what's said about Martha here. This is important to observe. Verse 40. So Mary has chosen that better part, to sit at the Lord's feet. Now look at verse 40. Look what's said about, look what God says about Martha. But Martha was diligently dealing with legitimate problems. No, she wasn't. She wasn't. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Much serving. And she was cumbered by it. This was unnecessary stuff. She has went well beyond what is required, and she's just overcome. Flapping around. No need for it. She's fussing over her guests. Let me give you a modern day equivalent here. Obviously, I'm going to draw back from Christ sitting at your table. And I'm going to say there is a significant guest. Let's say they're not significant. Let's just say it's families coming around. And you might spend the whole day beforehand planning, preparing, shopping. You get up early the next day, the day when the guests are to arrive, and you get the cooker going, and you get all the food going, and you've bought in an enormous amount of food, more than anyone could possibly eat, and you fuss over every single detail. You're getting the right cutlery out, you're getting the right plates out, you're getting all dressed nicely, you're going way overboard. And what happens? Well, you have to rush because you need to get yourself dressed and ready for the guests coming. And that all has to be right as well. And the house has to be clean too. Now, by the time the guests come, you have already spent probably the guts of 20 hours stressing and fussing and worrying. So by the time they come to the door, your mind is at boiling point. They all come in and they chat and sit around. You're back in the stove again, in the oven, making sure it's all right, getting things served, getting this mammoth amount of food that nobody's even going to eat onto the table. And then you have to check yourself out to make sure you're nice and clean and tidy. And so all the guests, having already enjoyed time sitting together and talking, come, they sit down to this thumping big meal that nobody can eat. They begin to eat as best as they can, and they're almost committing gluttony because there's so much there. And you're stressing about serving them, making sure they're all happy. Then when they leave the table, you're streeting to getting all dishes cleaned. And you're washing and cleaning, and then half an hour passes, the guests say, oh, we have to go, and they go happy, have enjoyed fellowship, well fed, and you're stressed to the max having to clean everything up. That's Martha. That's Martha. What would Mary do? Mary would welcome the guests in, set before them food that is sufficient, but she would prioritize fellowship, not feeding. That's the point. She was prioritizing fellowship, not feeding. And I've often said that even about our suppers in church here. Our suppers are not about feeding people. You know that. It's about fellowship. Because that's what Mary chose, and God said that's the better part. This is fellowship with the Lord. Most important. And so we have to ask the question, are you all Mary? Or are you all Martha? Or are you too much Martha and not enough Mary? Here's the thing. Think of the illustration I used there. All of that fussing about all those details. At the end of the day, you sit down and you haven't enjoyed anybody. Now, that's one thing. But dear believer, what if you were to live your whole life like that? What if you were to live your whole life fussing over all the stuff that doesn't really matter all that much? Fussing over all the details of life and then come to your deathbed and realize I missed fellowship with Christ. All these years, I've been running around more like a headless chicken than a child of God. And I've missed out enjoying the Lord. And I have forgot to do man's chief end. I have forgot to glorify and enjoy him. What an awful way to conclude your life. And so I would propose you do this regularly, even daily. At the end of the day, just sit down, evaluate. Have I been hassled today or have I been joyful? Have I lived, just think about yesterday. Let's just go back to yesterday, Saturday. Saturday, did you spend the day more like Martha? Or did you spend it more like Mary? What about the last month? What about the last 10 years? I think that's a fair challenge to ask men and women. That's why this text is here, for you and me to be challenged. Are we more Mary or more Martha? Now, Martha, like many an individual who's hassled, if you're prone to be hassled, you'll be like Mary here, because Mary was genuinely frustrated. Sorry, Martha was genuinely frustrated at Mary here. Martha was angry at Mary. Mary was enjoying the Lord, and Martha had enough of it. Look at the verse here with me. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered. Okay, it means distracted. And before I read this, understand this. She is so cumbered about with much serving and much fussing that she has lost all discernment. She is so consumed with serving unnecessarily and fussing that she has no longer the ability to rationally and sensibly think. Because read the whole verse. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to Christ, and said, Lord, dost thou not care?
Excuse me? How dare you, Martha?
You are talking about the Son of God,
the one who is incarnate to die for sinners. And the apostle said the same thing on another occasion. Lord, dost thou not care that we perish? Those words should never cross our lips, but times they do, don't they? We might hold it in our head. Lord, do you not care about me anymore? It's not the Lord's fault that Martha was consumed with her problems. Problems that didn't even exist. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. She said to the Lord, go and get. Lord, I know you're teaching and I know you're blessing people over there, but look at me. And she interrupted the Lord and came with her fussiness and said, Lord, you go and make Mary fuss with me. I'm not happy that I'm down here working my fingers to the bone and she's happy and enjoying thee. She's jealous. Do you ever feel jealous? Do you ever feel jealous of other people? Maybe there's other people who seem to have a different kind of lifestyle than you do, and things just seem to go a little bit smoother, and they're just enjoying the Lord, and you get jealous of them. And you might cloak that jealousy in some kind of self-righteous jargon, or whatever the case may be, and you begin to try and pick faults in them, and point your finger at them, and all the while, the reality is, you're just jealous that they're closer to the Lord than you are. And so you want to see them brought down. And nothing would make you happier to see them losing their joy. Nothing would make you happier than to see them coming down a peg or two and not walking with God so well. And if that is what's in your heart, there is something wrong with your soul. Something wrong. If you can't abide other people enjoying the Lord, you're sinning. And you're away from the Lord. Away. That was Martha's problem. She's so fussed, she's so cumbered about, that she can no longer even think, and now she's opposing those who are going on with God. Well, of course, she came to the Lord, and look at the Lord's answer, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. He wasn't cross, because he knows we're all like this. We're all sinners. Martha, Martha, here's the problem. Thou art anxious, careful, and troubled, disturbed. That's what those words mean. Thou art anxious and disturbed about many things. But there's only one thing that is actually needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. And Martha, doesn't matter how much you ask, it shall not be taken away from her. Martha, I will not drive my child Mary, who is walking with me, I will not drive her away because you're jealous and because you're fussing and because you're cumbered. Mary is walking with me, she is enjoying me, and I will preserve that. So if you're hoping that other people, because of your jealousy, because they're not as burdened as you are, and you want them to be like you, I can assure you, God will not answer that prayer. Now, I can't help but wonder, how did Mary respond? You know, listen, I would love to read verse 43, but there isn't a verse 43. All we're told is that God said this better part, Mary will not lose. I'll not be taken away from her. And we're left in a cliffhanger. And so we have to imagine, what happened? How did Martha respond? Did she go into a wee huff?
and get into the kitchen again and work away. And then be grumpy the whole day and get nothing done properly. And then at the end of the night, sit down and cry because she knew God was right. The Lord was right. But it's too late. What an awful way to live and die. All right. Or, and I suspect this would have been the case, did Martha humbly bow before the Lord and take the rebuke and recognize that she was cumbered about with unnecessary serving and instantly stop serving and begin to actually walk with God? I suspect that's what happened. She took the correction and began to walk with God. I wonder, have you been living like Martha for decades? You see, I want to come to a concluding illustration here, but understand this. I don't want you walking away here and thinking, right, that's it. I'm going to get rid of all the things in my life that give me hassle or frustrate me. I'm not going to do my laundry anymore. I'm not going to cook anymore. I'm not going to clean anymore because all those things are stopping me. All that dust in the house, I'll let it lie. Far better to walk with God. Right. Well, now that is the opposite extreme. And that's wrong as well. There is work that has to be done. There are things that we have to put our hand to. Legitimate tasks. There is the necessity of cleanliness and hygiene. There is the necessity of work and toil. We live in a fallen world. We will work with the sweat of our brow. We will labor. All those things have to be done. I'm not saying you dump all that stuff. What this text in Luke 10 is saying is get your priorities right. Get your priorities right. And let me give you an illustration. It's not new to you in this church, but I'm going to give it to you right now, and with this we'll come to a close thereafter, so bear with me. I have two glasses here, and I'm going to list three things. Not list, but these three things will illustrate the things in your life that are most important. Your salvation. You need to get that right. Then what about your sanctification? Your walk with God. That's what Mary was doing. She was walking with God. And there are other things that are necessaries as well. Things like family and so on. Those are the big things. You have to get them right. And you can look at that and say, well, that glass is full. Well, not really. Because there are other things in life you can maybe squeeze in as well. Now, I'm going to give you these nickel portion. These are little chocolate things. And they're round and they fit in. So these are more like the things in life that aren't, they aren't as important as these things, but they still have their place. Like making your bed. Like cleaning the house. Or whatever the case may be. And you'll find there's room for those as well. Let's get them in. There we go. And now you might say, the glass is full. Well, not so. Let's hold it here. These are now the other things in life. And I'm just giving you some sand. Just some sand. I'm going to scoop some sand here. Take a full scoop. And let me just whack this off. Or the caretaker will be... He'd be feeling hassled. These are small little grains. These are the things that don't really matter. That is sitting down and you want to watch a clean, sensible movie. You want to sit down and scroll down Facebook or whatever. It's not really that important, but you might actually have time for it. But let's look. Let's get it all in. See? There's room. And if I give that a good shake, I can't up here because I'm going to make a mess. But it's in. It's in. Everything's in. Now, let's change our priorities. Let's get the little things that aren't important in life. Let's get them in first, okay? The unnecessary things such as, whether it's media or movies or whatever, let's get in first. It's in. Let's get the other things in life that have an importance for sure. Let's say the making of your bed, the cleaning of your house, the whatever chores that have to be done, and do have to be done legitimately. Let's get them in.
Let's get the important things in now. Out of room. Won't fit in. Won't fit in. It's getting your priorities right. You can see the point I'm making here. If we, like Martha, think about all the unnecessary stuff, maybe even some of it is important, we've no time for enjoying the Lord and walking with God. But if we, like Mary, get our priorities right, you'll find that you'll get everything in and you'll have a full cup. And let me add one more thing, because you will find that when your cup is like this, what you'll enjoy is this. And I'm going to use the water to represent the blessing of God. Because even though your cup seems full, you'll find the Lord can pour blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon your life. Which is your life more like? This is Mary, filled with the blessing of enjoying the Lord. This was Martha. Her cup was full, and she would have been complaining, "My cup is full." But it was full of the wrong stuff. I want your cup to be full, but to be full of the right stuff. Are you giving priority to your walk with God? Are you serving the Master? I want to ask you today, are you saved? Can you honestly say you've got that right? I've got the first big important thing done. I'm saved. Are you sanctified? Are you praying over your walk with God? And are you actually walking with God? Do you give time to the things that are necessary in life? And then you'll enjoy the blessings and you'll find you'll always have room for God's favor and blessing. But are you saved? And if you are you walking with God today? Or are you so hassled you have no idea of what it is to enjoy life with the Lord? Our Lord and our God, we pray that you would enable us to have that Mary-like heart. We think in Psalm 27, Lord, when you say, "Seek my face," my heart instantly responds, "Lord, thy face shall I seek." For Lord, the psalmist had his priorities right. And what a life David certainly had. Heavenly Father, we want to have our priorities right. And Lord, help us indeed to keep even this portion of Martha and Mary ever before our face, that we would have plenty of Mary and sufficient Martha. Lord, that we would not be overcome with laziness, but we would be industrious, but not been overcome by it. So Lord, help us to be like Mary. Help us to be like Christ, the one who is the feeder of our souls, the one who is perfect in every respect. O Lord, mold us into thine image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.